Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Wednesday edition of the Dark Flight Podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans.
I'm playing. Yeah. No, no instrument for you.
No, but my sister sent me a video of my nephew playing the drums yesterday. Naked.
Rock on, man.
I was like, I wish I could send this to Frank.
Yeah, there's nothing comfortable about playing the drums naked.
Well, for him, there was.
You at least need some. First of all, I don't know. There's just something about sitting down on any surface without underwear on is just really not fun.
Even the ground?
Yeah, I don't. It just doesn't. It's something's. I don't know.
So
gotta have something there.
We have some news. I did a video yesterday about what's gone on in South Carolina with the GOP, just filling everybody in on the details. It has really gone to a bad, nasty place, Frank. It really has. It's depressing.
Well, what'd you expect? Getting involved.
Yeah, I know. I expected nothing less. I really did. So I'm going to put the link to the video, I guess, in the show notes if anybody wants to see it. I wish this was not happening. This is not like, I wish we were like able to just not hate each other for no reason. That's what I wish. Like these people that are in charge hate us. They hate us, Frank. They hate us.
Yes.
For no reason. Well.
Oh, there's reasons.
Yeah, there's reasons, but you know. Can't have the peons with any decision-making power.
Yeah.
The best thing is
that it's coming, you know, what you really start realizing and when somebody's in a position like you are, when you push past the media aspect of it, the social media aspect, the podcasting aspect, and you actually get into the business, you actually go backstage and meet with the stage crew, you realize that even more so than ever, that line between the parties themselves, very blurred. It's all just nastiness.
I wanted to hope that wasn't true, but I knew it was.
God knows. There's probably a lot of – maybe we should put a call out for anybody out there who has really awesome, positive stories of local government that is peaceful and cordial and nice. There's like some places in the United States where it has to be, where life at home is just peaceful, uneventful, and everybody's on the same page. Not necessarily thinks the same way about every issue, but it's on the same page about letting other people – be who they are and think differently and just preserve very basic and much needed rights. We should try to put out a call to that would be a nice change of pace, just
wouldn't
to
it?
Hear a story of normalcy and peace.
You just did it.
Well, go ahead, call us.
Reach out to us at the Dark Delight Podcast. You can email tips@uncoverdc.com with your positive stories of government happenings.
For those of you who have not positive stories, you can also contact UncoverDC tits.
Yes, TITS at uncoverdc.com. Please reach out to us. We're here. We want all of your emails.
Get it. Bring it in. We want the good, the bad, the
I'm
ugly.
I'm like, Frank, what are you doing? My head.
You're going to get a bunch of emails with the subject line, tits.
Yes. That is what I am talking about.
All right.
So now we have the election integrity issues, of which there are many coming to the surface, and of which we have gotten much news over the past 24 hours. Are you up to speed on any of this, Frank?
I read about Georgia that there's obviously more, like some 60% error rate or something, 60% error rate somewhere down there about something. I was more so digging through this letter from the attorney in Pennsylvania, another testimony of Bill Barr. personally intervening, making sure that people leave the election alone afterwards.
I am so disappointed because I was one of those people that actually had faith that Barr would do the right thing. I really did. I was so wrong. So wrong.
But this is not the only one. There was somebody else, and I've been trying to look through my show notes for the last couple of months to see if there's any hint as to where I could find this. There was somebody else. I found the clip on Twitter. It was taken from a broadcast or a podcast or something. He is a man who worked in some agency inside, I don't know where, national security something, former whatever the hell it was, who actually came forward and was talking in a podcast and named names and said that Bill Barr contacted him personally. He was on the other end of the line to say, leave the election thing alone. So this is not the only time that I have seen something like this, which is why I wanted to pair it together. But I can't find any hint as to who I was watching. Because I remember,
knows what you
yeah,
mean.
Please. Because when I remember when I put it on out there, people said, no, this guy's on the up and up. He's a good guy. So I'm trying to find out.
Well, that letter, we can talk about it. Do you have it? I don't have that handy to read, but I think we should. President Trump released that letter. Now, I will say, I don't doubt the man is telling the truth. That's for sure. But it seemed to me also as though he was seeking an endorsement from the president for his run. Because he's running for office. So what does that mean? I mean, it doesn't really mean anything at the end of the day if he's telling the truth, but there may have been a reason why. And, you know, he uses the same thing. We're taught to just follow orders in his letter.
No, I didn't like that part of the letter.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
Stop doing that.
There comes a point in time where if something's wrong and you know that it's wrong and there are people who are breaking the law and you are in a position to prosecute those people. I get it. Your boss is telling you not to, but who's going to have the guts to stand up and do the right thing? Same thing that's going on here. Who is going to have the guts to stand up and do the right thing?
Here is the Gateway Pundit article. It doesn't have the full, wait, maybe it does have a link to the full. Here it is. Let me put it into the Skype chat for you. There you go. You could probably get the full letter in there, but they have excerpts. They have the key excerpts up top. Especially that then, as a Marine infantry officer, I was trained to follow chain of command and to respect the orders of my superiors, even when I disagree. I disagree with that decision, but those were my orders. I mean, listen, we're in June of 2021 when he writes this letter to President Trump. Mm-hmm. June. I mean, I don't understand how anybody sit on that, knowing the gravity. I mean, there is nothing to obey. There is no country to defend if you allow this kind of thing to go forward.
And then he's running for office knowing that that's happening. That's whole.
So that doesn't leave a good taste in my mouth. But everything else I believe because we've gotten this kind of testimony before.
Yeah, this is not the first time we've seen something like this. It basically says, it was my great honor to serve as U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. You asked me to prioritize public safety, blah, 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 blah. In the spring of 2020, I prosecuted and won an election fraud case against the judge of elections in South Philly who was stuffing the ballot box. I also charged the political consultant who was paying bribes to the judge to stuff the ballot box. President Trump, you were right to be upset about the way the Democrats ran the 2020 election in Pennsylvania. It was a partisan disgrace. The governor, the secretary of the Commonwealth, and the partisan state Supreme Court made up their own rules, didn't follow the law. Even worse, the state attorney general, Josh Shapiro, the very person responsible for the enforcement of state election law, declared days before Election Day that you couldn't win the election. It would be hard to imagine a more irresponsible statement by a law enforcement officer, especially during a hotly contested election. In light of such statements, it's hardly surprising that many Pennsylvanians lack faith in our state's election results. On Election Day and afterwards, our office received various allegations of voter fraud and irregularities. I wanted to be transparent with the public and investigate fully these allegations. Attorney General Barr instructed me not to make any public statements or put out any press releases regarding possible election irregularities. I was also giving a directive to pass along serious allegations to the state attorney general, the same one who had already declared that you couldn't win. That's the crux of it.
I found it. His name is Tony Schaefer.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah. I know Tony.
Check that. Yeah, well, play that link. There is a he was on a call or a episode that this guy Chase Geyser was. I guess they did an episode. He has a show or something. Either way, Tony Schaefer is on there. Former U.S. Army Reserve Lieutenant Colonel and intelligence official who gained fame for claims about mishandled intelligence before the September 11th attacks, says former U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr told him to stop the investigation into the 2020 election. So go on down to that link. You can hear this excerpt from the show, and you'll see this is why. And now I'm going to bookmark this because I'll play it again tonight on my show. Go ahead.
But I believe there was hacking. I believe that the Dominion is dishonest. I believe that there were mass ballot fraud occurred. Look, I investigated this. I found one guy who moved a vehicle of 162,000 curated ballots from Bethpage, New York, to Central Pennsylvania. By the way, a guy named Bill Barr called me and said, oh, you need to give the investigation up. You need to turn it over to the FBI. Once the FBI got it, we never heard anything again. Just saying.
Right. Sounds familiar, right?
Just saying.
sounds like a motif in your career.
When's the last time you ever had Bill Barr, the attorney general, calling a private citizen saying, oh, you need to stop? Think about that for a second. I talked to Ken Cuccinelli, former attorney general of Virginia, about that. I said, Ken, two weeks ago, I was like, have you ever heard of the attorney general of the United States calling a private citizen saying, You need to give this up. Think about that. The attorney general.
Did you feel threatened?
Not a staff member, not a FBI agent. The attorney general himself.
Wow.
Think about that.
So how does that phone call go? Like he calls and says, "Hey Tony, how are you doing?" And you're like, "Oh, hey,
yes,
it's like super nice. Like, hey, you know, what's going on? How are the kids? That kind of shit."
Hey Tony.
And then all of a sudden he's like, "By the way,
Tony, Bill Barr, what's going on?" I swear to God, there's probably a recording out there somewhere of it.
Well, the NSA certainly has it.
Hey, Tony. Hey, Tony. Bill Barr. How's it going? What's going on? That's how it started. I am not joking.
That's so funny.
It's not funny. That's not funny at all.
Not funny at all. But I mean, listen. There you have it. There's another one. So I believe it. Once again, it doesn't take the bad taste out of my mouth as far as the timing of what's going on in Pennsylvania and what may be fishing for an endorsement. This should have been news off the bat. But then again, you know what? If Supreme Court judges were so scared as to what could happen to them, their families, or the country at large, if they didn't look the other way and let this all just get pushed through the pipes, then I guess everybody, you think it would be a little bit harder to spook a Marine. But then again, everybody's got families and everybody wants to live. That's inherent in all of us. You want to live for as long as you can.
You don't want to be killed by your own government or taken away somewhere because you speak out about horrible.
You know, yeah, or dragged out of your house like in South Africa or something like that.
There's a lot of this going on around the world right now.
There's a lot of weird stuff going on. The Haiti thing.
Yeah.
To see the government informants, or at least former government informants, they say, that were in that assassination squad. That I don't know. I don't know. Cuba.
Yep.
Boy.
Yeah. So we'll move to Georgia now. There's been a little bit of what basically came out. Wendy has an article up at Uncover DC right now about this. This is what I understand. It's a little confusing because the person who broke this, in quotes, is Garland Favorito. Do you know who that
okay.
is?
Okay. No.
He's with Voter Georgia. He's the one right now who has the election fraud case in front of Georgia, waiting for those ballot images to be able to be looked at because of the affidavits of all those election workers and people who witnessed, you know, duplicate ballots and ballots that looked like they were filled out by machines and photocopied and all that. This information that we're getting about the Georgia vote is not... It's not from those ballot images. This is separate. These are separate ballots that were released under like another thing that made it FOIA-able. Anyway, long story short, there's a bunch of different stuff here. They added this stuff to their actual complaint in their lawsuit. But 923 of 1,539 mail-in ballot batch files contained votes incorrectly reported in Fulton's official November 3rd, 2020 results. These inaccuracies are due to discrepancies in votes for Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and total votes cast compared to their reported audit totals for respective batches. So remember, Raffensperger was like, we're going to do an audit and you guys will all see.
Yeah.
There was a 60% error rate in their audit. And it's really confusing because in the press release, they make it sound as though it's confusing. There's an interview here that he gives to Steve Bannon, Real America's Voice, on site yesterday, which I'm going to play. It's not very long. It's Heather Mullins, the reporter that's on site there. So she's there right before the press conference with Garland Favorito talking about this, or after the press conference. I'm sorry.
We're now talking about saving the country. Patriots, Garland Favorito down in Roswell, Georgia. We're going to go live to Real America's Voice. Heather Mullins, Heather, the press conference just ended. Take it away, ma'am.
Now of fraud in the 2020 election. I'm here with Garland, and we're going to actually show it to you. Garland, why don't you tell us a little bit? Tell them what exactly are we seeing behind us here?
Yeah, so what we're looking at, Heather and Steve, are tally sheets that were the auditors for the Georgia audit that was conducted on November and 14th and 15th in Fulton County. They filled these out as they counted the ballots. And typically you would see 37 to 43, 60 to 1 to 48, something like that. But here we have tally sheets that are 100 to nothing for ballots. So somebody filled this out. But it's not just one of these.
100 to nothing for Biden?
Yeah.
He meant?
Yeah. Okay.
And we're going to kind of scroll through and show you these live. There's another one, 100 to nothing. The actual counts of these are like 59-42 in terms of ballot images. Here's one that's 150 to nothing.
Yeah, so basically the people that were doing the audit would count the batches and then write in fraudulent numbers because they have the corresponding images for these batches and they do not match these sheets. So whoever was doing them commit fraud. And what I had asked him in the press conference is, are these sheets signed by the person that doing them? And apparently they are, Steve. And not only that, the Secretary of State has the information. These sheets that they got, it's redacted. So they can't determine who was doing this, but we know that whoever did commit fraud. Now I want to switch over to the images of the ballots, right?
Well, hold on. He stops her and says, there's more here, actually. But the problem with that, first of all, the Happy Faces contractor, the Stacey Abrams contractor, they were working that election. You remember we had the guy who came out with his report from that was never was released to the public through John Solomon. The one that we went over, that was like however many pages. He wrote it like a diary from the day that he was there to observe the Fulton County elections onward.
Yeah.
And he said that those contractors were actually in the elevators saying they were there to F-S up. And he was like, well, that doesn't inspire very much confidence. Like, he wrote that in his notes. And we... Yeah, we did a piece on this on Happy Faces at Uncover DC, which I will share with you guys in the show notes so that you can read it again. But Wendy dug into them and who their funding comes from. And, you know, it's Stacey Abrams. Stacey Abrams. This woman who thinks she's governor. Can you imagine if she was governor?
No, no, she's not. She's just a. Oh, it's incredible. Well, she must feel great that she's been given something to do. Because you're talking about people who are so talentless that they wouldn't be able to get an administrative position at a YMCA, and the YMCA usually takes anybody as an administrator.
The worst part is that, you know, I don't know how much better than Kemp she would be. Or worse, I'm sorry. I don't know how much worse than Kemp she would be.
I don't know that she would be much worse, only because Kemp, someone like him, even though you can't trust him and he's already shown himself to be completely in the bag for something else, even though he hasn't been nailed to a cross yet, they have to keep up appearances, and they have to at least straddle a line that keeps them a little bit more moderate in their treachery. You know what I mean? They have to be a little bit more covert in their treachery. And so even though they are help pushing the ball down the line in a certain direction, it can't be as much of a full court press as someone like Stacey Abrams, who is just openly proud to be whatever the hell she is. So, it would be bad. I think it'd be much worse than Kemp for sure. Only because there would be no reason for moderation.
Yeah. Yeah. It gets worse, though. It gets worse. Ballot images. They have the ballot images. They looked at these ballot images. And each of the ballots are put into a batch. So when you scan a certain number of ballots, it's called a batch. It's closed out and it's moved on, right? Well, the problem is that when they examine these different batches of ballot images, the same ballots appear with the same artifacts, the same issues with like how people filled them out, or like little tails that they left inside the bubbles, or how they checked things. Or in some cases, they wrote their party in, like there was a space for a write-in, and the handwriting is literally exactly the same. And they found these duplicate ballots across several batches. They found over 200 Fulton County mail-in ballot images containing votes that weren't included in the hand count audits.
And are you talking about some of these images that came from this? I saw a tweet from Liz Harrington.
Yep.
I saw it not too long ago. She had tweeted out several images of these Fulton County absentee ballot tallies and stuff. And they are like 91 votes for Biden, 6 for Trump, 100% for Biden, none for Trump, all that stuff. And she put the caption up there. She said, these are Saddam Hussein numbers.
Yeah, it's true. But the ballot images are the same. They double scanned these things, which we've been saying for months and months and months and months, and which we saw in front of our own eyes on the video that was released by the Trump attorneys. So they're literally scanning these ballots more than once in different batches. So they're cataloged now in different batches. So they're counted more than once. It's clear as day. There's no question about it. And the funny thing is I saw the article where these ballot images were originally posted. Because again, they didn't come from this lawsuit that's ongoing in Georgia. And they were posted by an organization that was trying to explain adjudication. Like, this ballot was adjudicated this way because the voter's intention was this, and you can see why here. So they're trying to, from what I perceived, and I could be wrong, it looked like they were trying to explain away the adjudication process as, look what happens. Look at this. This ballot, they checked it instead of circled it in. And, you know, it wasn't counted at all. And these fine people went in and counted it. Well, I wonder what happened to that same ballot in the other batch now that we know that it's in there like 100 different times. They took the same ballots and they scanned them in more than once. What does that mean?
What does it mean?
How do you certify an election like that? Especially, how do you certify an election when your audit of the election that you base your certification on has a 60% error rate in its actual results? Insane.
Yeah.
Now,
then again, we heard about error rates even higher than that in Antrim, Michigan, and that was months and months ago.
Well, moving over to Antrim, Michigan, now that you've said that, Matt DiPerno, they're going around supposedly now. They're trying to go through this process of like wiping out the memory cards on these voting machines in Michigan. So it says here, cease and desist letter sent today. Removing the ICX batteries will erase volatile microelectronic memory in the machine and destroy the forensic trail of current configurations and historical data in the system, plus all configurations and data used in the November general election. So basically what they're trying to do now under the guise of routine maintenance, how many times do you have to change out the battery in your CMOS?
In my what?
In your CMOS. It's a CMOS.
Oh, okay. I don't have one of those, Tracy.
It's a battery that runs your hard, your motherboard.
Got you. Okay.
The answer is like basically never.
Never. I've never had to do that. I've had to replace plenty of motherboards though.
This is not like the same thing really, but it is in a way. Like, so there are people in the comments underneath his tweet here that are complaining like, what's your problem? What's your problem here? Why? This is standard things. What do you think could possibly happen? And this is not included in the preventative maintenance checklist under the contract. So like, this isn't something that is like required that they usually do. So now Matt DiPerno has filed a cease and desist. Patrick Colbeck is tweeting about this as well. But the DiPerno cease and desist says, this morning, I received a copy of an email dated July 8th stating that Election Source will be visiting Michigan counties, precincts, and townships in order to perform preventative maintenance. The letter further states that it is not necessary for the clerk to be on site while we work. We just need access to this equipment. How do you know what they're doing with that equipment? Like, you know, there's all this big hubbub and complaining about what these people are doing with the audits, and they're touching these voting machines, and, you know, we don't know what they could be doing to them. And now you're letting a vendor come in and basically, I understand they're a vendor, but they're saying, well, you don't need to staff anybody here. We just need access to these machines. We're just gonna maintenance them. You trust that, Frank?
No, I don't. No, I don't. In fact, I've had a real hard time trusting everything that's gone on this far down the line, because without any real investigation or probe on the books and going on, I felt like every day, every week that things just stayed in place was just another day, another week where in the dead of the night, somebody can show up in a warehouse with a group of, you know,
anyone,
cohorts, and just remove things, destroy things, replace things. So I have a hard time even just being totally confident that even though there are competent people coming in at this point to do stuff in certain states, it's so long after the fact, and these people are so devious that I always wonder, well, what was changed in the meantime?
Yeah, I know. What are they doing right now?
Yeah, because if they were able to do anything from November until now to make sure that whenever there was an audit, there's nothing there to really, how deflating would that be if they didn't find anything really, really significant in a change, and there's no way to prove it? Because what do you say afterward? They must have tampered with things before. Then we look like idiots.
He says, you're right. He says, your email further states you'll be pulling the battery from the units. Considering your profession, you must clearly know this process will erase any volatile microelectronic memory in the machine, destroying any forensic trail of current configurations and historical data on the systems, including all configurations and data used in the November general election. This letter is to advise that the process you describe in your email will clearly violate 52 U.S. Code 2701 and 2702. Your efforts to destroy election data and information is intentional. This letter demands that you cease and desist any and all efforts to destroy or alter any voting records or data, including but not limited to the records and data that may be destroyed or altered by removing the ICX batteries or the obvious destruction and alteration described in your email. This letter applies to all election equipment across the state of Michigan. You must immediately advise all county and precincts clerks of this letter and its contents by providing a copy to them so they're aware that their cooperation in your destructive actions may subject them to liability under federal and state law. In the coming days, we will be filing a lawsuit against Election Source and others related to fraud and subversion committed in the election. Your continued efforts to destroy and alter information will now be a component of that lawsuit. Further, we demand you preserve in all Michigan counties, precincts, and townships all documents, tangible things. It's a preservation notice. And he asks for a whole bunch of different things because I guess he's suing them under the threat of investigation by the Attorney General of Michigan. He is not backing down. Him and Patrick Kolbeck are still going. They're still going. We should have Matt back on the show.
Yes. Why not?
We should. Just to talk about what he's doing there in Michigan. So that's Michigan and what's going on there. And as the calls, the pressure on elected representatives there in Michigan compounds on itself, Frank, because they're getting thousands and thousands and thousands of calls and emails saying we do not just want some cherry-picked audit like we talked to Jovan about. We want a full forensic audit of the Michigan elections. Over to Arizona. It's starting to trickle out, Frank, and it seems like within the next couple of days, we could get some information. The count that the auditors did does not match what they're told should be there. This is just an assumption. I'm not going on anything that I know. I'm just letting everybody know that. It just seems to me that for them to recount again, the discrepancy has to be absolutely major. So,
yeah.
So they either Arizona's telling them there are far more ballots than there actually are, or far less than are recorded. And there are ballots not that, you know, the tallies don't match. In any case, that is a massive problem, among other things. So, Karen Fan, and I would caution everybody that
indeed.
It wasn't Fan, it was Mastriano. No, hold on. I'm gonna pull it up right now. There's so much going on, I'm getting things like twisted in my head.
I'm just trying to keep up with you.
Here it is, Borelli. Mastriano's in Pennsylvania, my stupid brain. So there was an interview with him that was done. And again, Wendy at Uncover DC writes about this, and you can find that link. I'll put it in the show notes as well. I'm serious, guys. I'm not just saying this because I'm trying to pump myself up. The work coming out of these ladies is incredible. We are on top of like everything. There is not one stone left unturned, you know? Anyway. So an interview with Senator Borelli on Friday quells concerns about the legislature's ability to complete the Arizona forensic audit as high-speed machines are brought in by the state Senate to begin to triple-check the ballot count on Tuesday for the Arizona audit. Gateway pundits Jordan Conradson interviewed Borelli on Friday, clarifying confusion over what still needs to be done and why the legislature's adjournment will not interfere with the audit process. They still need the audit passwords and stuff like that. I mean, the router passwords and stuff. And that's holding them up. I wonder if I can play this. It's just a transcript I'm seeing in this article. Here it is. 17 minutes.
Jordan Conrads from Gateway Pundit. I'm here with Arizona State Senator Sonny Borelli. How's it going, Mr. Borelli?
I'm doing great.
Oh, that's amazing. Thank you. So there's a lot of concerns out there about adjournment, sine die, the Senate not being able to obtain these materials from the county, and the audit not being able to complete. That's what some people think. Can you reassure us that the Senate will obtain these materials and the audit will be completed?
Sure. I mean, and it goes right back down to here's the facts. We were not in session when we issued the subpoenas back in December, and then we renewed them in January. So the subpoenas are still valid. They're still active. We don't need to be in session. Our legislative authority on investigations do not end at sine die. We opened this folder or case folder, if you will, if you want to call it that, back in December. That's when we issued the subpoena when the Senate Judiciary Committee. Once the audit is completed, that information is going to come back to the Senate Judiciary Committee for review and for action. And if action needs to be done, it will be referred to the joint House and Senate election integrity committee that was established through the budget process formally to start a new type of committee, like a study committee.
It goes on for a while, obviously, 20 minutes. I'll put this in the description box below, but I want to say something, especially when it comes to the Arizona audit. Everybody needs to make sure that their information comes from the horse's mouth. So Gateway Pundit has been guilty of publishing a rumor in the past on this audit that then they were forced to come out and say wasn't true, like twice. First time it was, oh, Monday we're going to get a preliminary report. Remember that?
Yes.
That caused a huge issue. Then it was, oh, there were 250,000 missing ballots. Now, that may end up being true at the end of the day now, but that apparently was not, you know, they came out and disputed that as well. And it's caused issues. So now you've got Borelli talking to them directly, which is fantastic. But Newsweek, I was on like a local radio show this morning, and she told me that Newsweek did a piece on the Gateway Pundit saying how they're disinformation and that nobody should pay attention to them and that they control 5% of the traffic. Here it is. Misinformation site Gateway Pundit is dominating coverage of Arizona's election audit. And the first paragraph says, as purveyors of mis and disinformation related to the 2020 elections have turned their attention to a partisan audit of ballots in Maricopa County, Arizona, one website has played an outsized role in promoting the story and spreading related false claims, the Gateway Pundit. It goes through all these numbers and how they failed fact-checking. Like, what are they using to... We don't have to go through all that. But they go through the disinformation that and falsehoods that they claim the Gateway Pundit has published. On March 6th, 2021, an article about the audit claimed that someone ordered the ballots to be shredded. And then they say, no, that never happened. You know, just nonsense. But
yeah,
I think that, you know, they're going to now go after the only outlets that will cover this stuff. And believe me, I have my qualms with Gateway Pundit. Okay. However, they do dominate conservative print. So perhaps they could do a little bit of a better job of fact checking, but we need to pay attention because that's where a lot of the stuff is coming from.
Well, I like the Gateway Pundit. The only criticism I ever had of them that I think really works against them is that there's so – I mean, everybody does it. Everybody's guilty of it, but especially since they have so many eyes on them, I wish they would do it less. There's so much editorializing.
Yeah.
There's little, you know, comments and almost like jokes and conclusions drawn and
– it's like a tabloid.
It gets a little at times. But the thing is that they do really good as far as – curating information, and now that they've gotten so big, they have people coming directly to them at times. And I would just like to see
professionalism.
Well, it would be a little bit harder for them to be so lambasted by people, because we need more places like Gateway Pundit, Uncover DC, and things like that, outlets like that, to touch on this stuff that supposedly right-wing media doesn't even.
Well, they have the subscriber base now, right? So I can understand, I don't agree with it, but I could understand why they were using like clickbaity headlines and stuff in the beginning to try and get more eyes, because that's the stuff that people look at, and they have a ton of ads on their site, so they're driving ad revenue that way. Fine. But like the other day I saw an article, and in the title of the article it said WTH. Like, what the hell? Like,
yeah, things like that.
Yeah.
Gotta get away from stuff like that. It makes...
you don't need to do it anymore. People are coming to you. Just be...
Right.
You know? It makes me sad because, again, you know, they get information out to a very large audience, which is great because we need more places like that. But I just... Like, I personally can't... Always, I do sometimes, but I can't always comfortably share something from there. So, but I mean, the whole Newsweek thing, they're going to target these organizations to, they're going to target them. They're going to come after news organizations. Like, for example, Creative Destruction Media. I don't even know where they came from. They just popped up out of nowhere. But they're doing a lot of really good work. I didn't even know Revolver existed until after January 6th. So there are, I don't know when they were founded. Do you?
No, but who said at the, I forget who started Revolver. It was, what's his name? That was in the Trump administration, working in the administration. I forget.
Let's see. It is. It was an aggregator.
Yeah, but they really. Well, go ahead.
The journalism coming out of there is fantastic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know. I forget. I was not unfamiliar with their brand for. Then again, Revolver magazine was a big heavy metal magazine that we used to watch too. So I just know the name. But as far as this goes, they really turned the corner with the January 6th coverage.
Yeah, I mean I love it when a new outlet comes out that does good work. My goodness, it's great. Like I never, and this is probably a downfall for me. I don't look at these folks as competition, especially not right now. Like, in my opinion, we need to wrap our arms around each other and, like, really try and hold each other up. Like, when journalism comes from someplace that's actually really well done, I will share the living daylights out of it and make sure anybody and everybody can find it. Not only that, but also, you know, who's helped Uncover DC quite a bit in getting information out there to people, Citizen Free Press. Fantastic aggregator. Fantastic. No advertising on this aggregator at all. It is literally open threads, a very long list of interesting and entertaining and newsworthy stuff. For example, yesterday they shared an article of ours written by Richard Gagnier, which explains how a journalist in Rochester, New York is suing the health department because she was harassed. Her name is Shannon Joy. She was harassed by the health department in New York. And they came to her house with cops for contact tracing.
Jeez.
So she's suing. And we
that's great. This is good stuff.
We used to joke around in the beginning a little bit because it's like, what could happen in Rochester? You have no idea the amount of news going on in Rochester.
Rochester, New York?
Yes.
Wow, okay.
Richard writes stories about Rochester all the time, but they're of like national importance. You remember there was that unfortunate death of that gentleman that they put the hood over his head, the spit guard.
Yes.
There was that, the mayor there, there's voter issues, there's Democrats like progressives like that are kicking, you know, canceling news anchors. And it's crazy. Like Richard has done a lot of really good work for us in Rochester. And sometimes he writes like really, really witty. So like it's not boring to read his stuff.
So, I have to keep more attention. I have to pay more attention to Rochester.
It's pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. But anyway, Citizens Free Press is really good. And then the Liberty Daily is another one that's really great that picks up stuff sometimes. So, you know, it's hard in this. There's so many social media platforms now, Frank.
They're popping up like mushrooms.
Yeah.
I mean, for a second there, I did that Getter. Well, it's Getter.
Getter is Steve Bannon's platform.
For when that popped up, I was just like,
it's Twitter, basically.
Yeah, I went on there and I just grabbed the quite frankly name. I haven't used it. Then I just went to go log into it just to see what was actually inside of it. About a week later, and then I was told that I no longer have access because I never verified my account. So I was technically on Getter for a couple of days and then, but I never used it and I never verified.
So I wasn't able to use Getter because it's linked to Twitter, right? So they make you authenticate to Twitter. They reserved large accounts handles. So they reserved my handle, I guess, by default, and also Uncover DC, because we had over 100,000 Twitter followers on Uncover DC before we were banned. And then when I tried to get in there and actually claim my username, I couldn't because I couldn't authenticate to Twitter because I've been banned from Twitter. So it was like a perpetual loop, but I was able to reach out and get some help with that. And so now I am on Getter.
All right.
Cause I need to have a name on it, all of these things. I can't not have one. I have to have one. So there I am on Getter at Tracy Beans.
Doing your thing.
Doing my thing. So there's that. What else did I have today? It gets worse and worse and worse with this vaccine stuff that's going on. I think I played that the other day. Yeah. So now I saw yesterday there was this sign that somebody put on their window that says you will be charged like $50 per minute to speak with me regarding any subject that you are here to speak about. If you knock on this door, you are acknowledging that you will be charged $50 per minute to speak with me.
That's cool to tell everybody, but if I were walking up to a house and I saw that, I would first wonder how the hell they're going to charge. How do you do that?
There's people that like have this on their window and their Ring doorbells are picking up the vaccine travelers and picking up the vaccine travel, the vaccine knockers, and they're walking away. They're like reading it and walking away. So there's that. And then, you know, like, look, there's tons on this vaccine front. We're not going to touch on too much today, but there's also the Texas scenario that's going on. Have you been following this?
Yes. About ordering the governor ordering all of the Democrat state congressional members arrested and brought back because they fled the state to avoid a quorum so that they couldn't. What were some of the things that were on the docket?
Election integrity.
Oh, okay. Of course.
Election integrity.
How else are they going to turn Texas blue?
Yeah, I mean, really.
Because they're losing the Latino vote.
They're losing everything.
Yep.
This is what they did, though. Oh, gosh, I just saw something really disgusting. Okay, we're going to touch on two more things. First, we're going to play these Democrats that are in D.C. right now, basically as, quote, refugees. Here.
Standing there when a new Voting Rights Act for this century is there, and the rights that were struggled, that so many lives were taken, so much courage was demonstrated, are preserved once again. I turn it back over to you for the questions, and thank you very much for all that you and all of your colleagues are doing here today.
We will overcome. We will overcome.
You're kidding. Can you
overcome?
We will overcome. Sounds like Carol Channing on methamphetamine. We will overcome. That's hilarious. These people are mentally ill.
They are mentally ill.
Mentally ill. Wow. I needed that duck voice.
So we've got that. And then this just came out, Frank. Listen to this. I'm just going to play it because the hypocrisy, this is the Secretary of Homeland Security.
Allow me to be clear. If you take to the sea, you will not come to the United States. The time is never right to attempt migration by sea. To those who risk their lives doing so, this risk is not worth taking. Again, I repeat, do not risk your life attempting to enter the United States illegally.
Yes.
You will not.
This is about the Cubans.
I know. Well, because Cubans, they know exactly what they're fleeing.
They don't want those freedom fighters here in Florida or in the United States.
No, they don't want anybody coming here knowing that they want less. They want less government. They don't want anybody coming here seeing what we are drifting towards.
And
knowing what we're drifting towards.
Can you believe they literally just told people not to come here illegally?
Yeah. Well, at this point, they have tens of millions of people in here. They just have to figure out a way to, A, make legal voters, and B, they have a system in place right now that they're struggling to keep and keep together that can make anybody, that you can make anybody, anything, the president of the United States with the system that's in place right now. You can make anything the president of the United States.
Speaking of the president of the United States, here is Joe Biden.
All told, more than 150 Americans of every age, of every race, of every background exercised their right to vote.
Over 150.
They voted early. They voted absentee. They voted in person. They voted by mail. They voted by Dropbox. And then they got their families and friends to go out and vote. Election officials, the entire electoral system, withstood unrelenting political attacks, physical threats, intimidation, and pressure.
I've never seen somebody who legitimately won an election spend so much time trying to convince everybody that he won.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. It's not even so much because Donald Trump, he walked around and he very rightfully bragged about how he beat every Republican up there, every establishment wonk, everything, and he did the what people thought would be the impossible. So he definitely went around there and he had his time to brag, but he didn't go on into these long, long-winded, scripted speeches about every little way that he accumulated the votes he did to try to sell the legitimacy of how they got the win, how they got the win that they did, because it's so unbelievable. It's ridiculous. It really is to hear this over and over again, and to have it coupled with these renewed calls for everybody to take this as some kind of a civil war situation, that what is being done in places like Georgia, very rightfully so. I love how people said they're trying to infringe on people's right to vote when it's actually making it easier for people to vote, and that all of the things that were introduced in 2020 because of the mail-in voting has actually just been made permanent in many places. These are part of the things that are going on there. Yeah. But of course, if you say anything about ID, it's an attack on democracy. It's so it flies in the face of logic and reason.
Of course it does. Everything these people do flies in the face of logic and reason. Literally. Ridiculous. It's all ridiculous. Yeah. I can't today anymore. That's it. I'm done. That's it. I'm finished. So, you have been listening to the Dark to Light podcast with
Frankie Val on the drums and
Beans. You can find us every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 2:30 Eastern Time on TuneIn, Stitcher, Apple iTunes, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and RadioInfluence.com. Until Friday.